Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available there. You just go to local programming, scroll down for Your Financial Choices, and see what's there. Welcome. Today is July 18th, 2018. The markets were up and flat today. The Dow closing up at 25,199. The NASDAQ was the one that was flat at 78.54 and the S&P at 28.15. Our topic tonight is retirement planning. We are live. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer. So that phone number again is 610-758-8810, and questions could also be emailed through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So, talking about retirement planning, there are many avenues to cover in retirement planning. I last did a show on this in April and covered some of the types of accounts you might have in retirement, the transition into retirement, what to do when you retire, and I'll touch on some of that again tonight. It's a topic that can be visited frequently. But I thought I would also cover some important milestones in retirement as we're looking in those retirement years, milestones meaning ages. And I did a show on that back in September of 2017. And I thought it really would be a nice blend to kind of bring these two topics together where we're talking about retirement planning, but also some important ages. And for those listeners who listen regularly, to piggyback off tonight's topic, next week I will be out, and Rod Young, who's a frequent guest host for me, Rod Young will be joined by Jackie Cornelius. They're both CFPs, and Rod is also a CPA. They're going to guest host, and they are going to talk about company transitions and your job. So that may or may not include retirement considerations, but what happens when your company goes through a transition? It could mean a job change. It could mean benefit changes. So they're going to cover next week company transitions and your job. And I think that's a good piggyback on what we're talking about this evening. So if you have questions, you know, about retirement in general or retirement accounts tonight, the mic is open. I really have a very, very general rough outline. So questions are welcome. And the phone number again is 610-758-8810. So one of the most important decisions to make in retirement planning, I would say, is how much you need to save and when. And the when, which is for me, long before you decide to retire. So retirement planning isn't, I think I'm going to, you know, retire at 62 and I'm now 60 and think I better start saving for it, because no way are you going to be able to save enough in 2 years unless you really hit pay dirt somehow. So the concept of retirement planning really begins almost as soon as you start working. You start saving for that future, and sometimes that future is when you retire and are no longer working. But to get in a good habit of saving regardless helps you through all those little bumps that you might go through in your earning years, whether it's that next stage where you're getting married and need some money for a house or a wedding, and then college education. So retirement planning is the concept of, you know, start saving today for those future expenditures you're going to have down the line, because the better saver that you are today, the better positioned you will be for retirement. And what goes along with that is understanding what your lifestyle is going to be in retirement, and taking a look and considering what your current lifestyle is now. Typically, what I see is people who are used to watching what they're spending and know what they're spending and are careful with saving while they're working tend to keep those characteristics even in retirement. So it's not always a big walk off the cliff when they retire, because they had already established that discipline and good habits while they're working. And what a great time to do that, because you have a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of wiggle room when you have cash flow coming in. So if you can control it and be disciplined and have that cash flow that's coming in while you're working and pay your bills and still have something to save, that really sets the stage for when you're in those retirement years when you don't have that cash flow necessarily coming in at the rate it was while you were working. And you don't always have as many options then when you're retired. When you're in your younger years, you could maybe get a part-time job, work two jobs, maybe a spouse or a partner could get another job. So you have a lot more flexibility when you're younger and can even possibly cut back on some discretionary spending that you don't need. All of a sudden, you're in your retirement years, you don't have as much flexibility, you might not be as fit, you might not have the same kind of skills you would have had when you were younger, depending on what it is that you might have done for your profession. But you also might not have the health to do those kinds of jobs that you once did. You might also have increased fixed expenses, such as health care costs, because those go up in our retirement years. So you really, number one, if you're not retired yet and you're young and you're listening, review how much you are currently saving for retirement. Now, someone might say, how much should I save for retirement? Generally, I think if you can save 10% of your pay and do that consistently over a long period of time, chances are you could be in very good shape. But again, if you're saving 10%, but you kind of have to put it all in context. So you're a great saver and you're saving 10%, but you're running up your credit cards, or you're maxing out your home equity loan or your line of credit, and you've got big mortgages. Well, that doesn't really make sense. So you want to make sure that not only are you implementing a plan for a disciplined saving strategy while you're working, that 10% savings toward retirement, but that you're also making sure that you're managing other areas of your cash outflows, that you're being very disciplined. So again, understand what your lifestyle is in pre-retirement years and set up those good measures, bumper guards, discipline, whatever you want to call it, while you're working, and have the flexibility to kind of be a little nimble when needed, such that when you retire, you already have that discipline set up. And then understand what your lifestyle would be, or what you expect it to be in retirement too. Some people like to work while they're in those earning years, and then want to just, you know, sail away on a boat in their retirement years, which could be also a very different lifestyle. So you do have to have some consideration of that. When we come back, From our first break, I'll continue my discussion about retirement planning, some general kind of concepts and observations, and then we'll dig in a little bit talking about what kind of retirement accounts one might have, what might be important to have to know how to juggle your cash flow in retirement, and then some references to some important ages as we go along our years. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about retirement planning tonight, just kind of some general observations, overview, et cetera. If you have questions, they are welcome. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. Talking about retirement planning, as I mentioned, we have to kind of have an understanding of our lifestyle. We also have to have an understanding of what kind of healthcare costs we might anticipate in our retirement years and what other types of benefits might be available to us as retirees. Might they have medical that's offered? How much is that going to cost? Is there life insurance? So you do want to understand what retirement benefits may be available as well. Some people have stock options. I think Rod and Jackie will talk about that next week as part of job changes and corporate transitions and things like that, because it's important to understand what goes on with stock options as well, especially if you retire. But what else you need to have an understanding of is not only what you're saving for retirement in your retirement plans. It could also be what you're saving outside of your retirement plans. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in just a minute. Those are going to be buckets that would be available to you to draw from for future cash flow or expenditures. So the savings that I've been talking about when I said retirement planning and start saving early and 10% a year, and there's a number of ways you can save that 10%. So you have those buckets that you can draw from. But there are other resources that may be available to you in retirement as well, which would factor into that retirement planning and what you're going to need to kind of accumulate or know how you're going to get through your retirement once you no longer have your employment. And what would that be? What else might we have as a resource in retirement? Some folks still have pensions available. More and more companies are eliminating those, freezing them, and or offering lump sum options on pensions such that many people who used to rely on the pension along with some Social Security would be pretty set in their retirement years because they had that fixed income kind of coming in. They didn't have to worry about what the market was, you know, doing because they had this fixed cash flow coming in. Quite often, pensions don't have a cost of living adjustment. It's rare. I can't even remember the last time I saw someone with a pension with a cost of living adjustment. So typically, you're looking at kind of a fixed amount each month. The issue with that is if there's no cost of living adjustment and we have inflation, you may not be completely protected by relying on a pension. And the same thing applies to Social Security. So we go into retirement and we say, We might have some buckets that we've saved that we can draw from, but what other kind of recurring income that's more fixed, that's not as at risk, might we have? And that would be possibly pensions and Social Security. Social Security typically has a cost of living adjustment, and you know, that may or may not keep up with what kind of inflation we might have or incur on the expenses that we have. Because if we have medical expenses and their inflation on medical expenses is 6% and the cost of living adjustment is, you know, 1.5 or 2%, then our Social Security increases might not keep up with the expenses that we have as they're increasing. But when you think about looking at this circle of resources for your retirement planning, you want to consider the buckets that you have and where you're going to tap money from those or when, and then the cash flow resources, again, the pensions and or Social Security, or there might be some type of an annuity that you might have acquired over the years. So here we have these buckets. Now, when we're talking about retirement planning, as anyone who listens to the show regularly knows, is just one little piece of that pie in our financial life that we have to make sure we're coordinating with all the other pieces of the pie, and that's cash flow, which we've been referencing. But investments, what kind of returns are we getting on those buckets that we've saved to provide some type of resources for us in our retirement? We also have to consider what kind of tax we're going to have on those buckets as we draw money out of them. So I want to talk in a minute, maybe after the next break, I have a question coming in. I want to talk about the buckets that we've saved over the years for our retirement, the advantages and disadvantages of the different kinds of buckets we can have in retirement monies and not. Right now I have a call on line one. I have Mary Ann from Northampton. Mary Ann, hi, can you hear me?
Hi, no, not real well.
Okay, how about now? I'm
now I can hear you.
Okay,
yes.
Great. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question regarding my car. I'm going to be nearing retirement pretty soon, and I have a four-year car loan. My circumstances, I don't want to go into too much detail on the air, but I have a little bit of extra money right now, and I would like to know, is it better off, I was going to make like maybe put like the next, maybe pay the car off for the next year to try to get it down earlier or keep doing that, and then I'll be done with the car payments when I'm in my retirement. I'd like to retire within the next year that way, or am I better off just, you know, investing that money where I can make something.
What kind of interest rate do you have on the car loan?
Oh, it's like 1.9, I'm thinking, or 1%. It's very low, 1.5.
Okay. Well, what I would look at, Marianne, is I would first see if you have 6 months of emergency reserves.
So I do.
Okay, so you got your 6 months reserves, and if you're not having to dip into other cash in the bank, and you have cash in the bank, and the bank is only paying you 0.3%, then it does look like a good deal to pay off the car. Now, the only thing is, when you go to pay off the car, that money is gone, but it is an absolute return on your money by paying it off. So I basically what I try to say to people is if you have money in the bank that's not earning as much and you don't need that money, then paying off the loan is kind of great. It relieves you of that debt and it's gone and you don't have to worry about it. Now, for you, because you're still working and you're going to retire in a year, yeah, you could do it over the next 12 months and that kind of gives you still a little bit of extra buffer in the bank account so you don't use it all. But if you also invest and you have an investment account that's giving you like a 7% rate of return, well, then it might not make sense to pay it off if you're taking money from your investments.
No. I'm not doing that at all.
Okay. Yeah. So it kind of feels good when you go into retirement to not have to have that debt.
Yeah, I really don't. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but you asked a great question, though. Is it worth it? If the your interest rate
you
is very, very low.
Yeah, but you have to weigh it. Right. But I figured, you know, I would rather not have that payment every month once I do retire. That way, I don't have to worry about it.
Right. So what you could do is get a payoff amount and then divide it by 12 and just increase your payment to have it kind of done in 12 months.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Good luck, Marianne.
Thanks so much.
Thank
you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye bye. That's a good question, and so that is something even a great question for nearing retirement, because we do often get those kinds of questions. Should we get our debt down so that when we retire, we don't have to pay anything? And the circumstances depend. It depends on the balances that someone might have. If you have, you know, $100,000 mortgage, maybe it's not a good idea to take $100,000 out of the bank if you're getting ready to retire, because you might need that money in transition. I try to talk to people a lot about when you're transitioning to a new way of life, sometimes you want to still give yourself a little flexibility and options, because if the spouse wants to go on a trip for a once of a lifetime trip for $10,000, maybe you don't want to pay off the mortgage with $100,000. So it's circumstance, case by case. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about retirement planning tonight. So before the, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, and we can talk live on air, or you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me, and I'll do my best to answer. So right before the break, I was talking a little bit about how retirement planning is just one piece of the pie of your financial life. We touched on understanding the cash flow ramifications of retirement planning and the retirement savings themselves, which is typically investing, saving, having these buckets, and how that also now could be impacted from an income tax standpoint. So when we talk about the elements of your financial life, we're looking at cash flow, taxes, investments, retirement accounts, risk management, estate planning, and I missed one, but I can't remember what cash flow, I think. So when we look at the income tax, here is something that I'm not sure people pay enough attention to when they're talking about their retirement planning. So when someone goes into retirement, how are they going to replace their wages? When you are working, you have wages, and wages are ordinary income, and they are taxed at ordinary income tax rates. Ordinary income tax rates are those rates that you see in the tax tables, which, of course, we've just gone through tax reform, and the tax rates have been reduced, and the brackets have been expanded. So the anticipation is that if you have income, your income taxes might go down. That's not the whole story, though, because there were also changes to the deductions that were allowed. So a lot of people are going to lose deductions that they might have had in the past. But for the purposes of our conversation here, I'm talking about ordinary income tax rates, which are typically those rates we see in the tax tables. For now, it's 12%, 24%. I think 26%, 35%, and 39.6%. I apologize if I missed any. So ordinary income are things like wages, interest income, ordinary dividends, annuity income, IRA income, Social Security income, all of that kind of income, ordinary income. Distributions from 401ks or IRAs, retirement monies, is ordinary income. If you have an opportunity to save money outside of a retirement account, let's say it's in an individual account or a joint account with a partner, spouse, you have the opportunity to invest, and those investments could grow. If you hold them for longer than a year, the appreciation is long-term, and if you sell it, it would be subject to long-term capital gains tax rates. And if you invest in equities, you have qualified dividends that qualify for lower tax rates. Capital gains tax rates are much, much lower than ordinary income tax rates. So I will talk about that in just a minute, because you really want to pay attention to that in your retirement years, because you can be really smart about how you're going to take money out of retirement accounts. I have a caller on line one. I have Lois from Easton. Hi, Lois. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Very faintly.
Okay. We'll see if we can fix that a little bit. Can you hear me now?
That's much better.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Lois. How can I help you?
So, Lori, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I understand when they figure out what your Social Security is to be each month, that it's based on a 35-year work history.
Right.
If you quit working, say, at 30 years, for example, and you take a pension, does that pension add into the next 5 years?
No.
As income? No, it doesn't. Okay.
No. Yeah, so the formula for Social Security is they do take your highest 35 years. So,
right.
And I think a lot of people actually don't understand that if they retire early, you know, we get our Social Security statements and they kind of project our benefit. And it'll say, here's your benefit at 62, here's your benefit at full retirement age, and here's your benefit at 70. But if you read the fine print, it says the assumption is based that on you continuing to work to those ages on your most recent income. So if your most recent income is some of the higher income, you know, it might be skewed a little bit. But I will say, Lois, if you work 30 years versus 35, it's not as big of a haircut as people think, depending on how much money someone makes. So you can do, I think there's estimating calculators on the Social Security website that if you take it early, you could get a number. But if you look at your statement and it says 62 and you think you're going to retire at 62, that might be pretty accurate if you're continuing to work at the same kind of level of pay.
Okay, great.
All right. So your Social Security will not be increased by your pension. It does not come into the calculation. Only wages or self-employment income.
Okay, great. That's my question.
All right. Good, Lois. Thank you for calling. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That was a good question, and people have to understand what does impact Social Security. And quite often, I have to tell you, when we talk about Social Security, there is a little element for a particular group of people, and that is people particularly who are government workers. Who might have worked in the public sector, private sector, and have a little bit of mix of government work record, the Social Security, I think, projection may not always be right, because there is something called, I believe it's the windfall elimination. It's not a tax, I don't think. But anyway, there's sometimes an adjustment to the Social Security. So for the most part, Social Security will be as it's projected on your statement. And for people who have not received a statement recently or would like to see what their benefit is, because I think they only produce them like every 5 years now, you can go on the Social Security website, ssa.gov, for Social Security Administration, ssa.gov, and establish an account. It's called My Account, and they ask you pretty complicated questions to establish the security for your account. And once you go through that and get it established, you actually can print your statement right there live, and also run some other, I believe, calculations and projections. So it's good to know what those options are for your Social Security for those different retirement dates, because there's a whole group of people, and I don't remember the years, born between maybe 1954 and 64 or something like that, where the full retirement age actually is kind of a running target, you know, 66, 66 in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, up till, you know, whatever age, 67 or something. There's you want to call it, grandfathering or a feathering of the age when they changed it. All right, folks, we're at the halfway point, and if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the income tax aspects of retirement planning and what you want to watch out for in those retirement years and how you can skew things hopefully to your advantage a little bit if you're smart about how you're taking money out of your retirement accounts. We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1, Many Choices. Real voices. Currently, the temperature is 83. Tonight's going to be clear, low around 58. Tomorrow, Thursday, is a repeat of today. Sunny, high of 85. Tomorrow night, clear, cool, low of 58. Friday, high of 85 again and sunny. Friday evening, a little bit cloudy, a little bit warmer, 64 degrees the low. And then Saturday, clouds will sort of start to roll in. Saturday evening, some showers. Saturday night, overnight some showers, and Sunday showers with the highs again in the low 80s and the lows in the low 60s. We now return to your financial choices with your host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Norm. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, we can take them live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. You could just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down, bring it in, or talk live on air. Phone number is 610-758-8810. So one other piece of retirement planning, again, trying to make all these pieces of your financial life fit together and kind of give you some advantages is think about what your tax situation is going to look like in retirement. Don't be passive about it. Be engaged with it. Because when you retire, as I mentioned, you might have saved for retirement in 401ks on a pre-tax basis, meaning you got a tax deduction while you were working and putting money away. You didn't pay tax on it then. It sits and grows in an account. And when you go to take it out, when you retire, it's going to be income taxable. Some people keep money in their 401ks when they retire. Some people roll over the money to an IRA so they can manage it themselves or, you know, work with an advisor and have a, you know, sometimes a bigger menu of investment options to choose from. So that's on a pre-tax basis. That would come out all as that ordinary income that I was mentioning earlier, all ordinary income every time you take money out. So it becomes a circular calculation as to what kind of tax consequences you're going to have on the money, because the more money you have to take out, the more that might be income taxable, the more income tax you have to pay. If you have to get the money out of the retirement account, you have to take even more money out, and all of a sudden it becomes circular. What else happens sometimes when we take money out of our retirement accounts? If we're also collecting Social Security, the more income we have on page one of our tax return, the more of our Social Security is going to be income taxed. Quite often, people collect Social Security and don't have any withholdings taken. Well, if you all of a sudden start taking maybe your required minimum distribution, start taking money out of your retirement account, and you hadn't thought about this, that now our Social Security is going to be taxed, and you didn't have any tax withholdings on that, you might have to make some adjustments. And again, circular calculation. So if you are in that pre-age 70 and a half period of retirement, some of your retirement planning could include taking advantage of maybe taking money out of the IRA if you're in a low tax bracket, maybe before you're collecting Social Security, or maybe converting money from an IRA to a Roth IRA before you start collecting Social Security. So retirement planning could mean putting money on your tax return, even if you don't need it for cash flow, to take advantage of low tax brackets before you have required minimum distribution. So there's usually a window for people. Sometimes people retire before they collect Social Security. and before they have required minimum distributions, and that could be a window for some serious tax planning. But if we're in retirement, we need money for cash flow, and we have a number of buckets. Maybe I have money in an individual account. I have money in my IRA account. How do I know where to take it? Well, that's part of the tax planning. So you'd want to work with your advisor to say, where does it make sense to take this money out? Particularly if you do have Social Security and had already started collecting, to maybe avoid making more of that taxable than you need to do. So a number of options in where you're going to draw money from in retirement as to how it's going to impact your tax return. Ordinary income is IRAs, 401ks, Social Security, up to 85% could be included on your tax return. So how much is taxed depends on how much other income you have in your return. So that's kind of the thing you want to watch. Now, some people will put after-tax money in their retirement accounts over the years. Some people who've been working a really long time, that might have been what you were doing pre-1986. A lot of folks were putting money in after-tax. If you are someone who's thinking about retiring, getting ready to retire, you want to take a close look at what is in your 401k. If there are after-tax monies in your 401k and you retire, you can roll over the after-tax money into a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA can be invested, and as it grows, the earnings and growth would be income tax-free when you take out a qualified distribution. So some people might say, well, Lori, if I have after-tax money in my 401k, why, I'm just going to take that out and put it in the bank. That's my play money. I can have fun with that. Well, yeah, you could do that. But then you don't have the opportunity to let that same money kind of grow income tax-free if you decide not to go and spend it and play with it. So it's not always easy to get money into a Roth IRA. So this is certainly one of the easiest ways to get money into a Roth, is if you happen to have after-tax money in your 401k. Some people have the opportunity to put Roth contributions into their 401k. So that's another consideration when you go to roll over a 401k. If you have Roth designated monies, those also could roll over to a Roth IRA. You know, refrain from pulling those out because they're income tax free. Keep them in that Roth protective kind of bucket so that any future earnings and growth on it will be income tax free. So, trying to bring together, when we talk about retirement planning, understand cash flow, understand savings for retirement, and expanding on just thinking about the buckets at work and dumping all your money into your retirement accounts at work. I really like to encourage people to save outside of the work plan as well, because, boy, if you need that money, it's hard to get out if you're under, under age 59 and a half and still working. It's very hard to get that money back out of the 401k. It's a distribution, taxable if you're under age 59 and a half, subject to a 10% penalty. So really kind of diversify where you're putting your money buckets. So cash flow, investing, retirement accounts, and understanding the tax implications of those. Also review your beneficiary designations on those accounts, especially if you go from a 401k to a rollover IRA as you're moving money. You want to make sure you're giving updated information for your primary beneficiaries and your contingent beneficiaries. And folks, if you're still working, remember retirement planning starts the minute you start to work. Make sure that you're reviewing your retirement accounts as well as far as primary and contingent beneficiaries. I think contingent beneficiaries is the most overlooked estate planning strategy that people forget about. So don't overlook contingent beneficiaries. Basically, if you're married, typically it's your spouse is the primary and your kids are the contingent, but you may not want your kids having the money if they're only 2 years old. So then you want to make sure you're working with an attorney and have proper estate planning documents and trust provisions for minors and things like that. You know, take care of this. It would be my goal to have everybody in the Lehigh Valley have all their estate planning done and done properly. and I'll feel like I've served a purpose. Let me quickly try to go over some of these ages that I think are important as far as thinking about retirement. And I will, after I take this call, we have a caller on line one. We have Jerry in Allentown. Hi, Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. How can I help you?
I am about 10 years away from retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I have a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my investments, other than my employer-based investments, like my 401k and things, most of my investments are with one financial planner.
Okay.
I have a little extra money. It may be equivalent to about 10% that's with that financial planner that I would like to try other avenues or another financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's so important to have that accumulated growth
mm-hmm.
when you're near retirement because it's that larger sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
Would that, using a smaller portion of my savings going to another financial planner, do you see that as prohibiting me from taking advantage of that accumulated growth?
Well, I'm trying to think how this is getting separated because you have 10% that you're thinking you want to do something else with, but it would still be with the objective of growing.
Yeah.
Yes. So is the question, should you kind of split strategies between maybe different financial advisors or something to that effect? It may or may not make sense. It kind of depends. What you want to do is make sure that the overall strategy that you need to meet is not sacrificed by splitting things up too much. So meaning if you have a strategy, let's pretend you're, you know, aggressive in one place and you say, oh, but now I have this 10% and with this other financial advisor, I want to be really careful. Well, if they're not working in sync for you, the overall strategy may not work for you. So sometimes if you split it up too much, you don't always have, you know, someone watching over everything to make sure it's all working together, that all the parts are working. So if one thing I might look at is if you have this extra money, I would probably ask, and don't answer, I would probably ask, are you contributing to your 401k, getting the maximum benefit from the deferral? Are you getting your employer match? Are you taking advantage of Roth IRAs if they're available to you? So it's not all about so much who's managing it, but what are you doing in your overall strategy with maybe this 10%, this extra money you came into? You know, if you have credit cards or car loans or a mortgage, what kind of rate of interest are you paying on all those? Does it make sense to maybe put some of the money toward that to knock off a few years off that mortgage? If the mortgage is going to go out 15 years and you're hoping to retire in 10 years, you know, where might you use some of that extra money? So that's probably what I would, you know, try to talk about with maybe your current financial advisor. If you have this extra money, what suggestions or options do they think you should consider? And then see if that sits right and if that works for you. And if not, you know, you can see if the other financial advisor has, you know, some better options or strategies. But overall, it has to work for you, however you divvy up the savings between retirement accounts at work or another financial advisor or another financial advisor. Just want to make sure the goal is to take care of your goals.
Understood.
Okay.
So essentially, if I have $5,000 in one bucket and $5,000 in another bucket, and each bucket's earning 1%, it would work out the same whether I had $10,000 in one bucket. It
right.
should work out the same.
Right.
Right.
Except if the $5,000, you've got two different buckets, two different hands, two different pockets. Whereas if you had it all in one pocket, would that help you reach your goal a little faster? I don't know. So you
understood.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right, Jerry.
Very
thank
good.
You for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a
Goodbye.
Good night. Bye bye. Folks, we're almost at the last break. The show's gone very fast. So what I'm going to, and happy to take questions. I love questions. It's my favorite part of the show. So you can certainly call in with questions. And I want to make sure, though, that I have plenty of time to kind of go over some of these really key, important ages, because I think it's really good to know these when you're trying to explore your retirement options as well. So when we come back from this next break, I'll talk more about the milestone ages for retirement planning. But if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. Just to mention a few things. One, I want to remind listeners that the website WDIY.org does have podcasts of prior shows. So if there is a topic that you're interested in, you can peruse what's available there. You just go to local programming and look for Your Financial Choices and find some of those topics that might be of interest to you. And I am not referring that much to some of these past shows I had, which was back in April. I had done a show on different kinds of retirement accounts and transitioning into retirement. So that show was April 11th, 2018, if you want more information on that. And then what I'm going to talk about briefly in some of the time that we have left are the ages, the milestones. And I had done a show on that back in September 27th of 2017. Again, if you have questions, though, we still have time, 610-758-8810. I'm really proud of the women tonight. The women are listening and hopefully taking action in their financial lives. So when we talk about ages, important ages, 50. If anybody's turned 50 this year and is still working, you can do catch-up contributions. Catch-up contributions to your 401k in 2018. The regular contribution is $18,500. The catch-up contribution is $6,000. So you can do $24,500 if you're 50 or older. And that could be regular 401k, Roth 401k, or 403b. I don't want to leave out our 403Bs, typically nonprofits and educational institutions. If you have IRAs, or you can make an IRA contribution depending on your income thresholds, blah, 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 there is an extra $1,000 for IRA contributions. The regular contribution is $5,500. The catch-up at age 50 is $1,000. That applies to Roth IRAs as well. Traditional IRAs, you get a deduction. Roth IRAs, you don't get a deduction. And what many, many people don't realize is that you actually can do a non-deductible IRA for people who don't qualify for either traditional deductible or the Roth. There is still something called the non-deductible IRA. And the beauty of that option is if you don't have any other IRAs and you put $5,500 or $6,500 into this non-deductible IRA, you have basis in that IRA and you can convert it. And if there's no earnings on it, you convert it income tax-free, you convert it into a Roth. And now you can invest that $6,500 and let that grow income tax-free. We call that the backdoor Roth. So age 50, catch-up contributions. Between ages, basically when you hit 55, so up till age 59 and a half, if you have been terminated from employment and you are 55 at the end of the year in that year of termination, you can withdraw money from your 401k without a 10% penalty for early withdrawal. You're still subject to the income tax, but there is not a 10% penalty. Those are very important ages for people who get those early terminations, 55, 56, and you don't have that paycheck coming in anymore. Wow, where are you going to get the money if you didn't save in a separate bucket? Well, and you don't have pension and you're not eligible for Social Security at age 56, where are you going to get the money? Well, you might need to tap that 401k. Now, you have to understand there's something called a summary plan document or summary plan description that describes when you can take money out of a 401k and how. Some employers will require that you annuitize it and take it out over several years, but you might have some options there. Short of that, there is another option for people who need money from an IRA and are pre-age 59 and a half to avoid the 10% penalty. There is something called 72T calculation, and that's available even prior to any of those ages I just mentioned. A 45-year-old person could do a 72T calculation. And basically what it is annuitizing a payment out of an IRA to the longer of, I believe, 5 years or age 59 and a half. If I'm remembering right, I haven't had to do one in a long time for folks. Age 59 and a half, that's the age that you can take money out of your retirement account without a 10% penalty. That's deemed to be a reasonable retirement age. The IRS is still going to tax things like IRAs or 401ks, not the Roth. But either way, age 59 and a half, you can take money out of those accounts without the 10% penalty. Still subject to income tax. Age 60, widows benefit for Social Security. So if you're listening to the show and you had come upon a spouse who's passed away and you're age 60 and you're in dire need of money, that is when the widow's benefit starts. There is a haircut on your benefit, though, and that ends up being, I believe, a permanent haircut. But you may have an opportunity to suspend your own benefit. You can collect the widow's benefit, but maybe defer your own benefit. So you want to talk to Social Security about your options there. 62 is still the early retirement age for Social Security. I'm really actually quite surprised they haven't raised this age at this point, because life expectancy ages go out so far now, and that really would be one way to shore up the Social Security bank account. So they've raised the full retirement age for, you know, most of us at this point, but they never changed that early retirement age, and I'm thinking that might be where they might go next. So 62 early, subject to a permanent reduction in benefits at age 62 on Social Security. Full retirement age then is anywhere between 60, it used to be, I think, 65, then moved up to 66 and has moved up even to 67 now. So for folks after 1960, born after 1960, it's age 67. 70 and age 65 is also the Medicare age. So if you're not working and you're not collecting Social Security, you need to sign up for Medicare about 3 months before age 65, and then you're going to write them a check. If you have Social Security, it kind of happens, I think, automatically. It just starts, you know, coming out, or they alert you about the Medicare. But if you're not collecting Social Security pre-age 65 and you don't intend to collect Social Security, you have to notify Medicare. Unless you're working and have otherwise qualified health insurance, then you wouldn't have to sign up for Medicare. But most of us have to sign up for Medicare at 65 if we're not working. Age 70 and a half, that is the age for minimum required distributions, or required minimum distributions, MRDs or RMDs, whichever way you want to call them. The IRS isn't going to let us get away with not paying tax on that bucket of retirement money that we saved up for too long. So at age 70 and a half, they say it's time to start taking that money out. And you have until April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half. But if you wait until April 1st of the year following the year you turn age 70 and a half, then you're taking two distributions that year. So remember earlier when we were talking about retirement planning and thinking about the taxes and how all that works? there might be a reason why you would want to wait until April 1st of the year following, because maybe you're working the year you turn 70 and a half and you got a big payout and you don't want to also have to take your RMD that year because you retired that year. Maybe you'd want to wait till the next year when you're not working and you might want to take two. I've had this happen. So 70 and a half, they give you a little wiggle room. That's part of the retirement plan and coordinating it with your tax planning. And then when you coordinate with your tax planning and you make some good tax decisions, guess what that does for your cash flow? Helps you with your cash flow too, right? So that is, those are some of the important ages. Let me see if there were anything else. Oh, also at age 65, you do get some additional standard deductions, and that's even under tax reform. So the standard deduction for single people in 2018 is going to be $12,000. For married, filing joint, it's $24,000. If you're over 65, I believe it's an extra $1,300. So the standard deduction does go up when you turn age 65. For people who, you know, have withholdings, whether it's from a pension, IRA, Social Security, wages, whatever it is, you want to pay careful attention in 2018 because the tax tables, withholding tables, changed in the first quarter. And because the tax rates have changed and the deductions have changed, your situation might not be the same as it was. It's not always same as last year. SALY, as accountants use, same as last year. It's not necessarily going to be similar to last year. So I recommend that you print out your pay stubs or look at what your withholdings were on whatever sources of income that you have to see if the withholdings are going to be enough to cover your taxes due, because this could be a real windfall for the IRS when we have all these people who thought they were getting a tax break and they got it in their paycheck and they didn't realize that they have all this other income that's now going to get taxed possibly and may end up owing money. And you're not going to have a safe harbor. The safe harbor is you paid in as much as you owed in the prior year. That might not happen because you might not be paying in as much as you had the prior year because the withholdings went down. So therefore, you might have penalties and interest. I think that they would be a little flexible this year with that, but who knows? Maybe not. What else can we talk about with retirement planning? I think my husband had given me some ideas, and I thought that was pretty great, and I didn't go over them. He texted me right before the show, as he always does, to tell me to have a great show. And he had said, what happens if you plan on working after you retire? Implications for taxes, 401k, Social Security. Social Security is probably the biggest thing that would be impacted if you work after you retire, depending on how old you are. If you work after you are full retirement age, it's not a problem. You could still collect your Social Security and there's no payback. But if you retire at 62 and start collecting Social Security and then decide to go back to work at 64, you may have to pay back some of those benefits. It all depends on how much you make. There's certain thresholds, and I don't know them off the top of my head. But if you're not full retirement age, and let's pretend you're making $20,000 and the cap is $16,000, well, if you made $4,000 more than the Social Security cap, you'd actually have to pay back a dollar for every $2 over. So if I went $4,000 over, I'd have to pay back $2,000. Now, that kind of goes back into your future calculation of Social Security, but it can get a little complicated. It could throw you off on your cash flow and what you think you have available. But again, once you're full retirement age, it doesn't matter how much you work, that it's not going to take away from your Social Security benefit. Anything in between, it could impact it. If you are employed with a new employer and they have a 401k, you could still participate. So that's okay. You just want to make sure you're managing along with your cash flow and your tax situation. So if you're working, maybe you don't need to take as much out of your retirement account. Let that grow a little longer. Lots of implications. Next week, Rod Young and Jackie Cornelius are going to be here filling in for me. And they're going to talk about, changes, company transitions, and your job, which could again include retirement considerations. So I look forward to hearing the show and listening to them. I will be on vacation and appreciate them stepping in and taking care of that. I also want to mention Lehigh Valley SCORE has programs that are available to people who are in business and going on business. You can go to their website at lehighvalley.score.org to get more information about the upcoming seminars. Folks, it was a great show. I really appreciate the listeners who called in. My favorite part, the questions. And thank you, Lori, for being here and answering those calls. Thank you, Norm, for filling in for Shandi tonight. I appreciate it. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. And have a great week.